Well, praise the Lord, everyone. Oh, I'm so thankful that the Lord has helped us. Life has all these unexpected things that just come up and try to befuddle us and whatever all, but praise the Lord, this victory in Jesus. Amen. Thank the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. I just, boy, God sure knows how to do it. I don't know what it was with my car, but anyway, I knew I couldn't drive it like it was going. But thank the Lord. God makes a way, doesn't he? God is good. He is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, thank the Lord Jesus. Yes, praise God. And thank you for bearing with us. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's pray as we begin here tonight. I'm going to be praying for the man named Doug. He's been on our prayer list, and he's going to go through a sleep test, or whatever you would call it, this Thursday night over into Friday. He's had some extreme difficulties, and he's not sleeping right, and there's thoughts that it's a breathing pattern or apnea or something that is wrong. And so anyway, they're going to connect him to, I suppose, various devices to try to determine what all is going on there with him. He's having this test, and he's quite concerned. He's really not very well. So I'm going to pray for him, and I pray that you'd pray with me. And I know Sister Sharon there in Singapore, I know the situation is pretty tough there with all the mandates and, you know, the penalties for the unvaxxed and everything else, and they keep on requiring more and more boosters with the shots and all. It shows just how pathetic it all is. We're going to pray for her situation. We need to believe God like never before as we see these signs coming to pass before our very eyes. And praise the Lord. I'm going to pray for you, Sister Penny, and ask the Lord to just touch you and give you his overcoming strength tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Great victory in Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's pray here together. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, God. We're so thankful for this opportunity, Lord. Oh, God, you brought us here, Lord. Oh, God, you got us here, Lord. And I'm praying, oh, God, that you would have your way, Lord. I'm praying that you would talk to every heart. Oh, God, you know every detail, Lord. You know every need. You know every situation. You know every struggle, Lord. Oh, God, and we give these matters to you, Lord. We ask that you would work in a mighty way, Lord. I ask that you would work in our hearts, Lord. Oh, God. I ask that you'd give me the words that I need to bring this message forth, Lord, that you would be there to inspire, oh God, to direct, to open up our understanding, Lord, oh God, to talk to the hearts, oh Jesus, oh God, we could do nothing without you, Lord, and I'm just praying for your directive here, Lord, your anointing, Lord, oh God, all the ability and the authority that comes from you, Lord Jesus. God, I do pray for Doug. I pray, oh God, that you would help him with his situation. I pray, oh God, that you would give him faith to believe you, Lord. I pray, oh God, that there would be answers to all the torment he is going through, Lord. I pray, oh God, that sleep would begin to come in the name of Jesus. And oh Lord, you know everything, Lord. I pray that you'd help this man in the name of Jesus. Oh God, I pray, oh God, oh Lord, if he goes for that test, oh Lord, that, oh, you would work it out according to your will, Lord. Oh God, oh Lord, that answers might come, oh Lord, but more than anything, Lord, I know you have the answers for everything. Lord, I pray for the situation in Singapore, Lord. I just pray, oh Lord, oh God, that you'd move the mountains I need to go. Oh God, all the obstacles, Lord, all the misdirection, Lord, all the thinking, oh God, all the conniving. Oh God, you know what's going on, Lord Jesus. And I pray for my sister, Lord. I pray, oh God, oh Lord, that you would do a mighty work there. Oh Lord, despite what man may try to do, thou art with us, Lord. And I pray that you would work in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood in Jesus' name. Oh God, you know how to reverse those mandates. Oh God, you know how to stop them, Lord. And we're coming to you, Jesus. We're asking, oh Lord, that you would interfere with their planning and their scheming. Oh God, I pray that you give wisdom that comes from you, Lord. And oh God, help that comes from you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray for Penny. Oh Lord, I pray for my sister, Lord, that you would touch her, that you would heal her, Lord, that you give her all thy peace, oh Lord Jesus, that you give her faith, Lord, that you give her strength, oh God, and I pray that she'd overcome all the fear, Lord, all the anxiety, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, Lord, I pray that you touch her even now, oh Lord, and I pray, oh God, that you'd move every mountain that needs to go, oh Lord, for we give this matter to you, Jesus, and we rebuke the devil, oh God, all his efforts and what he has attempted to do, Lord. Oh God, we bring these matters before you, Lord, and we ask that you'd move in Jesus' precious name by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord Jesus. So praise the Lord. Praise our God. Oh, God is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, the Lord gave me this message a couple nights ago, and I'm calling it, How Much Do You Love Me? How much do you love me? And, of course, it's a question that God asks. And we're going to go through some scripture as the Lord leads, and oh, my, if we could all just concentrate on what God would do in our hearts. You know, I don't know, we've just been fighting lots of battles, but I would believe that, you know, this online ministry isn't just a chat room, that, you know, that it doesn't exist just because we want to converse one another and you know, get to know one another and all those things. But I would pray that this would be a time when we would all draw nigh to God. You know, that we would let the Lord work in our hearts in a great and mighty way. Oh, amen. You know, I'm seeing things that, you know, we've talked about so long. And if we ever needed to get right with God, if we ever needed to get serious with God, it's right now. Oh my, it's right now. If we ever needed to give all our hearts, all of our devotion, all of our lives to the Lord Jesus, it's now. This is the appointed time. This is the moment that we need to surrender and give it all to Jesus. Praise the Lord. So the question is asked, How much do you love me? Oh, praise the Lord. Let's go to John the 15th chapter as we begin here tonight and read a portion of this chapter here together. Praise the Lord. John chapter 15. Praise our God. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Thou art great and greatly to be praised. Oh, thank the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank the Lord. Amen. Oh, praise God. There was quite a wind out there. It was really, showing itself, I don't know, a little earlier before I even considered coming over for church. I mean, before it was time to leave. But, oh, my. Thank the Lord he got us here. Oh, praise the Lord. We might have to fight a lot of battles sometimes. But if God be for us, who could be against us? Amen. Praise our Lord. Okay, John chapter 15. Amen. Let's begin with verse 7 here. And I think Samuel was in this portion of scripture fairly recently, and I know I go here from time to time, but let's just see what the Lord is going to show us here tonight. Praise the Lord. Verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. Yes, he said it there. And verse 8 goes on to tell us, Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Oh, praise the Lord. I know Brother Samuel's been talking about the word disciples. We know it means under discipline. and praise the Lord. Oh, yes, it is the will of our Heavenly Father that not only would we commit our lives to the Lord Jesus, but it is His will that we would bear much fruit. Amen. Praise the Lord that we would be fruitful as Christians. Praise the Lord. He goes on to tell us in verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And here we have one of the conditions here in verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You know, Jesus came to this world to fulfill the will of his Father, the eternal Spirit of God, oh yes, which put on flesh to come to this world, oh, that we might be saved. Oh yes, that we might have fellowship with the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord, that we might know God. Amen. And yes, he came, yes, to fulfill the will of God. And that is what his existence was all about. Continues to say in verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Praise the Lord, he came to put a joy in our hearts. Oh, a cup that's overflowing with joy. Oh, the gladness of the Lord. Oh, yes, the blessings that come forth and the knowledge that he is with us and that he has called us. And here we are. We have great hope in the Lord. Praise the Lord. And yes, he came to give us his joy. And oh, not for just one moment, but that it might remain in us. Amen. Be a continual thing, even during struggles, even during trials, even during pain. Oh, yes, to have the joy of the Lord is our strength. And yes, that your joy might be full. Praise the Lord. Amen. Goes on to say in verse 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And we know that, you know, he said in another place that that is the way that people would know that we are the disciples of Jesus Christ, by our love one toward another. Amen. So here he's giving this as a commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Verse 13 tells it here. It says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Oh, that is the ultimate sacrifice. That is the ultimate display of love. And praise the Lord, we all know the one who did it for us. The Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this world to die in our stead, to lay down his life for us, that we might have salvation, that we might be hope, have hope beyond this world. Praise the Lord, that we might be saved. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord, there's no greater love than that. That a man would lay down his life for his friends. Oh, praise the Lord. And that's what Jesus did for us. And he explains in verse 14, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. See, there's that expectancy that if we are the children of God, if we are the friend of God, then we would do what God asks us to do. We know that Abraham was called the friend of God, and obviously he had to be obedient to God in order to be his friend. He had to be submissive to God in order to be called his friend. And praise the Lord, Abraham walked in obedience. Amen. So therefore he was called the friend of God. And you know what? Likewise with us. Oh, yes, it takes surrendering our hearts to the Lord. Oh, not my will, but thine be done. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes, oh my, our will gets stuck. And oh, we get stubborn and we resist. And oh, we don't want to do it. But praise the Lord knows how to help us. You know, I'm thinking of Jonah at the moment. Oh, Jonah's reluctance to go to Nineveh. Oh my, no, it was absolutely essential for him to go to Nineveh. God had to have that witness there. Oh, it had to be. God was fed up with that city, that great city of great trouble and disobedience and violence and all the things that were going on that God saw. There had to be a witness. Oh, yes, against all their wickedness. And praise the Lord, we know that Jonah didn't want to go. But I'll tell you what, God has a way. Amen. Oh, my. Even if it means being swallowed by a great fish. Oh, God knows how to do it, doesn't he? Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I thank the Lord. Oh, yes, that he tugs at our heart and that he makes a way. And oh, sometimes it takes a little bit to get us going in the right direction, to get us listening, to get us to be submissive to the will of God. But I thank God for his patience, his long suffering, his great love for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, and he says again, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. And then verse 15 is beautiful. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And then he's going to emphasize it again, that need to love one another. These things I command you, and oh yes, all that's incorporated in this portion of scripture, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And that's quite key in so many ways. We are misunderstood and misrepresented, scorned, hated, ridiculed, shunned, and everything else. But, oh my, if we're truly following the Lord, amen, praise the Lord. If we're really the disciple of the Lord Jesus, then, you know, those that are going the other way aren't going to like us, are they? Oh my, because we're not of the world. If they are of the world, if they're a partaker of the things of this world, then they're not going to understand us. Our resistance to that path, our desire to serve the Lord and to follow him, they're not going to understand. And Jesus went on to say, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Praise the Lord. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is so gracious and so kind. Oh, he is such a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Praise the Lord. And it is so beautiful to think that he regards us as his friends. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, they hated Jesus without a cause. Yes, they did. And that fulfilled the scripture that was written in the Psalms. But praise the Lord. Verse 26 says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus' great love for his friends. And oh, I thank God he was not going to leave them comfortless. But oh, when he left this world, he sent back the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. Oh, which comes from the Father, that Spirit that was in Jesus. Oh, he sent it forth as a Holy Ghost that he might dwell in our beings, that he might make his abode with us. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes. Oh, how we want to love the Lord. Oh, and keep his commandments. And oh, yes, that we might be proven as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I would like to go to the Old Testament right now. And oh my, it was on my heart to go to 2 Chronicles, the 34th chapter here. And I'm going to talk about a king of Israel. They're on the latter end of all the kings. So yes, before the Babylonians came in by a little bit. His name is Josiah. Amen. And oh yes, it tells us that when he was 8 years old, he began to reign. And it tells us that he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. So that's 31 years. And oh, it tells us that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Oh, praise the Lord, he stuck to the road. Oh, yes, oh, his striving to keep the commandments of the Lord and to do the will of God. And though he was so young when he began this reign, he continued to walk with the Lord. In fact, he's stirred in his heart. It tells us in verse 3, for in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he would have been 16 years old, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down, and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break in pieces and made dust of them, and strode upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. Oh, it was a time of reformation. Oh, as he began to see the need to get right with God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Most of the kings did after the ways of the heathens. And all these things were in Judea and Jerusalem and, oh, throughout Israel. Oh, my, it was so pathetic, the altars of Balaam and all the images, all the places on the high spots. And, oh, my, the groves, the carved images, the molten images, all of that. But, oh, here was the zeal of the Lord in Josiah the king. Oh, yes, it was a zeal of God. He took those despicable things that were abominations in the sight of God, and he began to break them in pieces until there was nothing left but dust. And yes, in fulfillment to prophecy, it tells us in verse 5, and he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars, those that had lived in rebellion and in ways that were in complete opposition to the will of God. And he cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities also. Look at in Manasseh and Ephraim of the 10 northern tribes. He's even reviving them. He's the spirit of reformation, you could say, was upon Josiah. And so he's also going through the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim to the north. And Simeon is mentioned, even unto Naphtali. See, he's going into the 10 northern tribes. And it says, with their mattocks round about. A mattock is like a pickaxe or a maul of sorts. And here he is. He's banging down those things, having it done, so that, oh, they're out of the way and God can bless them again. oh my, yes, sometimes there's things in our lives that have to go before we can have the blessings of God. Oh yes, sometimes there's some crashing to do. There's some things to dispose of, to burn in fire, or to throw out, to rip up, whatever, all to dispose of. Any heathen things, any abominations in the sight of God. Verse 7 tells us, and when he had broken down the altars and the groves and had beaten the graven images into powder and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. My, he was on a mission. Praise the Lord. Oh, he left Jerusalem to go travel and see that these things were done, that all these abominations were cast down and disposed of. Amen. Broken into dust. Praise the Lord. So he was on a mission. Amen. And here it tells us in verse 8, now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, Joah, the son of Jehoahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. And wow, now he's on another mission. He got rid of the things that were abominations in the sight of God. And now he's going forth to restore, to repair the house of the Lord. Oh, that had not been done for a long time. And it was in disrepair. It was in disarray. It was, you know, broken down in many ways, it appears. And it tells us in verse 9, and when they came to Hilkiah the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God. He was taking a collection, obviously, for this cause, which the Levites that kept the doors had gathered of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim and of all the remnant of Israel. Praise the Lord, they're participating in this, those of the 10 northern tribes. And of all Judah and Benjamin, the two southern tribes. And they returned to Jerusalem. Praise the Lord, he had sent out the priests or whosoever to gather some so that this task could be done, this endeavor could come to pass. It tells us in verse 10, and they put it in the hand of the workmen that had the oversight of the house of the Lord. And they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord to repair and amend the house. Praise the Lord. Okay, so amend in this sense means to reform or to correct, to improve, to restore, you could say. So yes, the money that was collected was given to the workmen that had the oversight and those that were doing the work that were the repair people. Praise the Lord. And I'm sure there were costs also for the repairs that needed to be made. So I'm sure all of these things were taken into consideration. And it says, even to the artificers and builders gave they it to buy hewn stone and timber for couplings and to floor the houses which the kings of Judah had destroyed. Oh, isn't that terrible? The kings of Judah had destroyed the house of the Lord. So you've got the money given for these needs. The artificers are the skilled craftsmen, those that were working on this project, the builders, and, you know, the necessities that were needed, the cutout stone that would be needed to repair the places where there was damage. It goes on to tell us, verse 12, and the men did the work faithfully, and the overseers of them were Jahath and Obadiah, the Levites, the sons of Merari, and Zechariah, and Meshullam, of the sons of the Kohathites, to set it forward, and others of the Levites all that good skill of instruments, of music. So I believe there must have been some repair that was needed with the instruments that they used to worship the Lord. So you see, all of these needs are taken into consideration here. And it says in verse 13, also they were over the bearers of burdens. Oh, those that would be there to help them and bring the supplies and oversee the work. And were overseers of all, it tells us, that wrought the work in any manner of service. And of the Levites, there were scribes and officers and porters. Oh, praise the Lord, it looks very well organized. Every person in his or her place to do the work that was necessary to be done. So here they are, this great project that they're doing to revive the house of the Lord. Oh, yes, to restore it, to mend it. And while they're working, oh, what a surprise. It tells us in verse 14, and when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. You can imagine, I mean, this should not have been hid. You know, this was essential for them to go forth and do the will of God. They needed the book of the law of the Lord that was given by Moses. But it had disappeared. Oh my, how can you do the will of the Lord if you don't know it? Oh my, what a problem, what a predicament. But praise the Lord, they got busy and they started to restore and collect and get the cobwebs out and everything else that was in the way. And lo and behold, they found this very, very important book. Praise the Lord, and oh my, what a marvel. Oh, you can just see them shaking the dust off and looking into its pages, and oh, Hilkiah saying to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And that book was delivered to Shaphan. And what did Shaphan do? But oh, he carried the book to the king. And he brought the king word back again saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. In other words, the project was going very well. But oh, and look, King, look, King Josiah, look what we found. And it tells us, he's given a report here, verse 17, and they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers, into the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Oh my, here's King Josiah, and here he's been trying to purge Israel and Judea. He's been trying his best. He's made all these efforts. But oh my, here it is. He's finally hearing it. Oh, this missing book that they had not had for such a long time. Oh my, how could they live without that? Those important instructions. Oh my. And it tells us in verse 19, and it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan, the scribe, and Asaiah, a servant of the king, saying, go inquire the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. Oh, can you imagine this? I mean, here it is. He's hearing the words of God, and all at once you can just see him. He says he rent his clothes. In other words, it's a sign of great distress, because here, as it is being read to him, oh, he's realizing, here it is, the word of God, and we have not kept it. We have not been doing it. Oh, no. What's going to happen to us now? Oh, God must be very, very angry. He said, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. Oh, what a predicament. And oh my, sometimes so it is. We don't always know. Oh, sometimes we've lived in ignorance. And I couldn't help but remember, as I was reading this today, the moment when Pastor David and I were looking at this film. It was a Britannica film, and it was just based on Christmas's background. It was, you know, just going through all the traditions that are connected with Christmas and explaining them. And I believe the name of it was called Christmas Through the Ages. And, you know, we looked at it. Oh, my. All these traditions. All these things. Oh, my. We didn't know that. We've been doing these things. Oh, Lord. Now what are we going to do? Oh, it hit us. It hit us so hard as, you know, those realizations came. And, oh, we looked at each other and said, why are we doing these things? Oh, praise the Lord. I thank God for that moment. Oh, yes, when that insight became real and we began to realize that all those things, all those backgrounds pertaining to Christmas, what a strange word anyway. Take it apart, it means the mass of Christ. I know Pastor David used to say that's the day that all of Christendom, so to speak, becomes Catholic. A mass of Christ? Oh, why are we participating in that? Why have we done this? Oh my, what a turning point in our lives. As, oh yes, we begin to see the reality behind all the traditions that are so common even until this moment. But I thank God, because although we had bought a Christmas tree that year, it was the first year that we were married, actually. We bought a Christmas tree that year. Oh, we never did that one again. No, not after we realized what was behind such a tradition. And I know for a while we didn't quite know. We thought maybe we could have, Christmas dinner with our loved ones, my folks in Eau Claire, and my mom and dad, and brothers and sisters, and all. And, you know, so we sort of tried that for a while. And strange thing, every year when we did that, it was two, 3 years, I guess, we might have tried that, at least 2 years, I think. David got sick. He got sick. I mean, you know, he usually didn't get sick, but, you know, we tried to do that. He got sick. You know, I remember, you know, we thought we could maybe still have a Christmas program for a while, and, oh, you know, we had this program. It was planned. We had a lot of visitors. We had quite a ministry at that point with a children's evangelism, and we were busing in children, and here we had this program planned. And we had, there was a deaf and dumb class, too, that some were participating in, and a lot of these people were going to come, too, and, a full house, and David got sick. This big, big occasion here. David got sick. And, what were we going to do? Well, I'll tell you what we went through with that program. And That must have been a little strange because David did talk about the abominations behind the Christmas tradition, the pagan connections. But I'll tell you what, God had spoken, and we knew we could never try to do that again. No, that was the end of any such thing. You know, we just realized we cannot participate in any aspect of the Christmas traditions. Oh, praise the Lord. I thank God for his patience with us, his mercy. Amen. But oh, yes, getting back here to 2 Chronicles, the 34th chapter. Oh, here's Josiah seeing these things for the first time. And what was he going to do? Because he realized God's great wrath because his precepts, his commandments had not been kept. This is what he had Hilkiah do. It says, and Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shalom, the son of Tikva, the son of Heshrah, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college. And they spake to her to that effect. Oh, Huldah, what shall we do? Oh, Huldah, could you tell us what the Lord would say? What can we possibly expect? Oh, can you please tell us? And so she did. Tells us in verse 23, and she answered them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell ye the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book, which they have read before the king, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. Well, I'll tell you what, this world has gone amok. Oh, all the ways of the heathen that have all been taken up. And oh, yes, even excused so many things that are blatant sins in the eyes of God. In this day that we live, oh, so many live under that excuse that, oh my, everybody's doing it or whatever all. It doesn't seem so bad anymore. Oh yeah, we are seeing quite the things. Things that God is very displeased with. Oh God, all the live-ins, people living together when they're not married. Divorce and remarriage all the time. Oh, all these terrible things that God despises. And then, oh yes, the right of abortion. Oh, all these horrendous things that God despises. And now, you know, the legality of homosexuals marrying one another. Oh, let's puke in the eyes of God. All this stuff that people are looking at and doing and excusing. And oh, how we need the Lord. How we need to get right with God. No wonder judgment is pending in this world. No matter. No wonder so many things are going wrong. Oh my, no matter. No, oh, there's reasons why we're seeing what we're seeing. No, there's a time when God's wrath is going to be poured out without measure. And oh, we're beginning to see his judgment as it comes forth. Because they have forgotten me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. But oh, there was mercy shown. I'm so thankful the Lord has mercy for us. Oh, his love for us is so great. Praise the Lord. And oh, thank the Lord. Oh, he has repentance. Oh, available. That ability. Oh, yes, to come before him in true repentance. Praise the Lord. And oh, thank the Lord. He forgives. Our God has great mercy. Oh, yes, He forgives us for our sins, amen, when we come to Him. Oh, yes, acknowledging them and turning away from our sins. And so verse 26 tells us, "And as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall ye say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard. Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same." So they brought the king word. Oh, praise the Lord for his great mercy. Oh, yes, he sees a meek and a contrite heart. Praise the Lord. Oh, a heart that is truly repentant, a heart that is tender before the Lord, and that willingness to humble oneself before God. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, Josiah, who had rent his clothes and wept before the Lord, God heard him. Oh, praise the Lord. And there was a response. Oh, yes, God's great mercy. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, because it was in Josiah's heart to serve the Lord, to love the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, he went forth with greater zeal than ever before. Oh, as we read the rest of this chapter here, it tells us, "Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. He read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments, his testimonies, and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book." Oh, praise the Lord. A dedication of their hearts. Oh, in a greater way to the Lord. Praise the Lord. He gathered all the people together. Oh, the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests, the Levites, all the people, great and small. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And then they made a covenant. They made a pledge before the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, praise the Lord. It was to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies, his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And it tells us in verse 32, "And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it." Oh, there they were. They were standing to it and pledging their allegiance to God, their hearts to the Lord, their love to the Lord. Amen. "And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers." And praise the Lord, this is the seal of the Lord. If you love me, keep my commandments. Oh, it will show. If you love the Lord, you're going to keep his commandments. And this is what Josiah did then. Verse 33 tells us, "And Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertain to the children of Israel." The 10 northern tribes we're talking about. and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even those rebellious 10 northern tribes. Oh, what one person can do when they're on fire for God. Oh, praise the Lord, when the zeal of the Lord is in the heart and that love for God is greater than everything else. Oh, praise the Lord, he went throughout all the countries that pertain to the children of Israel and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Oh, praise the Lord, a pledge of service to the Lord, of dedication. Oh, to keep his commandments, his ways, his laws. Oh, praise the Lord, all his expectations. And so it is. How can we do less? Oh, praise the Lord. We're not under the old covenant at this time. But, oh my, we know that there are things that we must do in order to please our God. There are things that we must not do to please our God. And he expects our submission to his will, his ways. Oh, yes. The things that are right in his sight. Oh, I thank the Lord that, oh, we would have such an opportunity. Oh, to walk with the Lord. Oh, and to keep his commandments, his testimonies, all the things that he puts in our heart. For in this new covenant of grace, praise the Lord, he puts his law into our hearts so that we will know what he expects us to do if we will follow after him and listen to that still small voice and allow him to work in our hearts. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In Matthew, the 22nd chapter, we have someone who came to Jesus asking this important question. Matthew 22. It starts with verse 35. It says, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what does it mean to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind? Oh, praise the Lord. Doesn't it mean putting him before everything else? Oh, yes. Doesn't it mean to regard him above anything else in this world? Oh, yes. That zeal for the Lord and all that life that is wrought in Christ. Oh, life wrought in him so that men know that we are the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. Oh, loving the Lord with all our hearts, all our souls, all our minds. Oh, putting him foremost. Above all things, his kingdom, his will, oh, what he would have us to do. Amen. Turning now to the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, reading a portion here. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And you know, we confess Jesus Christ in various ways, our actions, our words, our testimony, all our declarations of whether we're walking with the Lord, we're His disciples, we love Him. I mean, it all comes out. And sometimes, oh yes, that denying. Oh, we don't want to deny Him. Because here it is clearly, plainly said, but whosoever shall deny me before man, when they ask us that question, oh, we don't want to hide our light under a bushel. No, oh my, it means standing up for what is right, what is true, what is God's word, and not denying Jesus Christ. Amen. Even though, oh, they might put us to death. For yes, if we deny Jesus before God, which is in heaven, we're going to be denied on that day. Then he goes on to say in verse 34, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. But here it is. Oh, yes, we're warned that, you know, it's not going to be an easy road, in other words. Oh, we're going to see opposition. Sometimes those who we love more than anybody else, so it would seem on this earth, our loved ones, in other words, might be the ones that give us the most trouble. But we know one thing, we've got to love the Lord more than we love any person on this earth. And so, therefore, we are told in verse 37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Oh, praise the Lord. Taking our cross is talking about how we turn our lives, our will, our emotions, our desires, our ambitions over to the will of God. How we submit our lives to the Lord Jesus. That's what it means to take up our cross and follow Him. And if we're not willing to do that, then we're not worthy of Jesus Christ. And verse 39 says, he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Oh yes, by turning our will, our desires over to the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. We find eternal life. Praise the Lord. Oh, we earn eternal life. Oh, by that life that is wrought in Christ. Oh, by that willingness to submit to God and keep His commandments. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, we have so much to consider here. But oh, yes, there is nothing in our lives that should be loved and esteemed and held in reverence above God. Our service to God. Praise the Lord, the Creator of the universe. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, yes, our surrender to the Lord Jesus. The one that came to this world to give his life a ransom for many. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, how we want to follow him and be willing to take up that cross and follow him. You know, I don't think it was very easy for Josiah to hear those words that were written to him by Shaphan, there as he was reading. But I'll say, you know, there was something deep in Josiah's heart. I believe he loved God. Oh, yes, and that was his greatest desire, to be right with God. And that's, oh my, he was so willing, oh yes, to listen, to hear those words, and then take heed. And oh yes, he had them go to Hilda, the prophetess, to see what she would say. And praise the Lord, God had mercy. Amen. Although judgment was pending, and I'll tell you what, judgment is pending in this world that we live in today. Oh my, God has not ignored the evil works of man. Oh, their rebellion, their contrary ways, the things that they esteem and hold to. God has seen it all, and there's that cup of his wrath. One of these moments, he's going to pour it out. It's going to be poured out. But praise the Lord, God has mercy for his people. Oh, God knows how to keep his people and how to take them through even such moments as these, how to make a way for us. Oh, no matter how rough the road gets, how dark it may seem, and how contrary it may seem, oh, hold on to the promises of God. Keep walking with the Lord. Don't look back. Don't give in to the pressures, to the world system, to the beast, all these things that are coming upon the face of the earth. Don't give in to that. Serve the Lord and do his will. And forsake those things which are wrong, which are evil. Oh, praise the Lord. Get right with the Lord. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. We have great opportunity, don't we? Oh, yes, our God knows how to help us, how to take care of us. Oh, yes, how to supply our needs according to his riches in glory. Amen. Amen. You know, after Jesus was crucified and then put into the earth, and into the sepulcher at that point, and then, oh yes, all the events that took place, of course, we know, thank God, he rose again, didn't he? And oh, there were those appearances when he appeared to his disciples, and it tells us here, the book of John, the very last chapter, the 21st chapter, oh, one of these events after Jesus was again risen from the dead, and you know, he would come and he would go. They'd seen him a couple times at this point, but you know, here it is. The 21st chapter talks about these events. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. And it says at this point, this event that we're going to talk about of right now, there were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples, total of seven here. They were gathered together, and Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. Well, you know, what else were they to do? That was, you know, his occupation before Jesus called him. And so the rest, the others, said, we also go with thee. And so they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. Oh, they're out there on the sea trying to catch fish, you know, thinking, well, you know, I guess it's over. They didn't quite know what to think or how to think, what to expect, you know. So there they are, trying to catch fish out there all night, and they caught nothing. But here it is. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And he cries to them. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no, they haven't caught a single thing. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and he shall find. So they obeyed. It says they cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. And that disciple whom Jesus loved is John. And so all at once it dawns on them, oh, it's Jesus. It is the Lord. And so it tells us now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon in bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring in the fish which ye have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes. And oh, that's so interesting. Here is this net, and it's full of great fishes, which make me think that these fishes were all a very good size. And not just a couple. It says 153 great fishes were caught in that net. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Oh, marvel. So many, and I imagine heavy, and all this, so many, but the net didn't break. Well, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. So Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. Oh, I imagine what a meal. That'd be wonderful. But oh, yes, something else happens here. Tells us this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas. Oh, isn't that interesting? Simon Peter was a descendant of Jonah, obviously. But there's a question. Oh, we know what happened when Jesus was on trial. How Peter, despite the fact that he loved Jesus, he denied him. He didn't have the strength. He didn't have the courage. He didn't have the boldness. He didn't have the faith. Oh, to stand there and say, yes, I know Jesus. He's my best friend. Yes, I know Jesus. But he denied him. And so it is. You know, here it is later, after Jesus was again risen, and here this question is being asked, particularly, specifically to Simon Peter. Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And here I believe Jesus is aiming at Peter's former occupation, that of a fisherman, his livelihood. And there's a question, Simon, Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? In other words, how much do you love me, Peter? How much do you love me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my lambs. And then, perhaps a moment or two later, doesn't tell us exactly, he, being Jesus, saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And again, here's Peter's response. He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And again, the answer, the reply, he saith unto him, feed my sheep. And then a third time, he saith unto him, the third time, Jesus saying to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And this time, oh man, why is he asking me again? I told him. And I'm sure it was on Peter's heart, three times. Oh, I denied Jesus three times. Oh, I did that awful thing. And now he's asking me, if I love him. Now we know that Peter, after he denied Jesus, went out and wept bitterly. Oh, he had great sorrow for what he had done, I'm sure, with all his being. He wanted hope. He wanted forgiveness. So he wanted to be right again. He wanted to be strong. He wanted to be brave. He wanted to prove himself. And so here he is as Jesus is questioning him the third time. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter answers, he's grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Oh, praise the Lord. How we need to respond to the Lord. How we need to love him with all our hearts. Yes, Jesus went on to tell him that the time would come when he would be carried away and men would do to him what he would not desire. And Peter realized that, yes, Jesus was talking about the time when Peter would meet his end. He would be crucified. But in the interim, he had a mission to do. Beloved the Lord Jesus, he would feed his sheep. Oh, praise the Lord. And we know that Peter accepted that challenge. Oh, yes, he accepted all the will of God to go forth. And to bring forth the gospel, to present it on the day of Pentecost. Oh, yes, to bring it, to many others, to the Samaritans, to Cornelius, and all of those that were of his household, the Gentile people. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, God worked in his heart. And Peter did love the Lord. Oh, it was in his heart. I know he went forth and he proved that love for Jesus Christ by going forth and doing his will so that they all knew that Peter was a disciple. He didn't deny the Lord after that, did he? Oh, yes. Such a question is asked in Mark, the 8th chapter. Again, it tells us, as we also read earlier in Matthew, verse 35, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Oh, that question, how much do you love me? Oh, if you love me, keep my commandments. Oh, surrender your will to me. Do my will, child. Oh, yes, keep my ways. Oh, praise the Lord. Because, what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Tells us as Mark 8 ends, verse 38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Oh, there'd be nothing more horrible than discovering that Jesus was ashamed of us because we had been ashamed of him and of his words, and we had not committed our lives unto him and surrendered our will and done his will. Oh, or at some point we had given in to the pressures and sold our soul for a bowl, a porch. Oh my, there would be nothing so horrible. Nothing at all. Again, oh yes, that question that rings all throughout these ages. If you love me, keep my commandments. And child, how much do you love me? Yes, just as he asked Simon Peter, son of Jonas, do you love me? So it is. Oh, yes. We want to abide in the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We want to bring forth fruit. We want to keep his commandments. We want his word hidden in our hearts. And oh, yes, it will be proven by our life. Because if we love him, we will keep his commandments. Oh, we will do his will. We will not be ashamed of him. We will stand up for him regardless of what is going on in this world. Oh, praise the Lord, and we will walk with him. Oh, praise the Lord, and oh, yes, stand up for the things that are of God. Praise the Lord. Loving him with all our hearts. Praise the Lord. Doing his will and following him. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. We love you, God. And we worship you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. If you love me, keep my commandments. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, there is a song that comes to mind that feels appropriate to sing tonight. I need to look up the number, but I know that it's in hymnal number 2. So we're going to be opening our hymnal number 2. And the song I am thinking of is Oh, How I Love Jesus. It's number 305 in hymnal number 2. 305.
Oh,
us, because he first loved me. Bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night. And I'm just going to let the mixer run for a little while Shirley plays the piano. Praise the Lord.